I motioned to the school's main doors, now guarded by two doughy security guards. They probably couldn't defend us from clawing kittens, but at least they'd deter unsolicited social media pictures.
What did you guys witness in there?
Dad asked. Anyone else would probably just see the town sheriff collecting information for his case, but I knew him better. He wanted to know how screwed up we were from what we'd seen. Dustin took a step forward like he was reporting for duty.
At approximately 7:05, Mr. Klein was found hanging from the lobby ceiling in front of the trophy case. Jacob and I were two of the first to see him. The halls were empty at the time.
My father nodded with appreciation at such a thorough report. Dustin, my dad's protege. He'd always wanted to be a police officer, just like my father. Unsurprisingly, he followed my dad around like a puppy, always picking his brain about the law.
We came in early today to meet with Principal McKenna about Pride Week. Since it's during playoff season, the basketball team wanted to wear rainbow patches on their jerseys to show their support.
He offered Jessica a small smile.
When students started filing in, I pulled the fire alarm. I thought it would clear the halls out.
He shrugged.
I guess people don't really care if they burn to death. Pretty much everybody just stared until the teacher started yelling.
Jessica and I had been among them. We'd heard about the other two school hangings, but to see one in person? Nothing could have prepared us for that. The shock had tugged me under a fog. I'd hardly register the fire alarm or its meaning. Dad put his hand on Dustin's shoulder.
Nicely done.
He turned to the rest of us.
You should go home. This is now a crime scene. School will be canceled for the next couple of days.
Jessica pulled her keys from her purse. I can drive Pepper and Liv home and stay over until you get back, she offered. Jessica's parents worked late hours, and her girlfriend, Tiffany, went to a private school several hours away. Chauffeuring us around benefited her, too. She hated being alone.
I think that's a good idea. Dustin, why don't you join them?
Dustin saluted.
I'll call your parents and let them know the four of you will be at the house doing your schoolwork until I get home. We can order pizza for lunch later.
Dad snapped his fingers at Pepper, who was staring sullenly at the ground.
You, shower. I can smell the smoke on you from here.
She grimaced, but acquiesced. Fighting him wasn't necessary. We all knew she'd go home, lock herself in her room, blast her music, and not come out until dinner. Eating was the only group activity you could count on her to show up for. Dustin grabbed my bag for me.
I've got it,
he said as he flung the backpack over his shoulder. We trekked toward Jessica's car. Not two steps in, a shiny black 1972 Ford Bronco, dragging a trailer hauling a black motorcycle, pulled into the parking lot. I'd know that car anywhere. It was my dream car, the one I had been saving for since my sophomore year. I was practically drooling as it pulled in, 10 spaces down from Jessica's silver Volkswagen. While I gawked at the exterior, three people emerged from the car. I scrunched up my nose the way I did whenever I sensed Pepper lying or trying to distract me. Something about them was just off. The driver, an older man around my dad's age, wore a brown trench coat, black suit, and black scarf, possibly government. At least he looked like the government officials on television. He walked around the car and tossed something at the gorgeous teenage girl behind him. About Pepper's age, she had wavy blonde hair past her shoulders and wore jeans, a cream turtleneck, and a fitted navy peacoat. Barbie doll pretty. She caught the foreign object and pointed it at the school. It looked like a plain black box, the size of one of my favorite novels. But as the girl held it up, orange and red lights flickered on its side. She tossed it back to the older gentleman, who placed it in his pocket.